Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Big Ten Powerhouse Podcast. It is August 1st. Last month or so has been kind of slow on the Big Ten front, but this week a lot of news out across the conference. We had some commitments for a couple of teams. We had some big recruiting visits, some big announcements. Even just before the podcast, Nebraska announced that they hired a new assistant coach. So there's really been Phil Beckner, for those wondering, from Weber State. But a lot of updates. I'll touch on a couple of the recruiting developments more towards the end. But definitely the biggest update of the week was the injury of Illinois point guard Tracy Abrams. He, for those who aren't super familiar with him, he played, I want to say, three seasons or at least three seasons of eligibility. Up through 2013-14, he went down with an ACL tear before last season, missed all the year, redshirted, planning to come back this year, and tore his Achilles, and he's out for the whole season again. One would assume he would get the six-year exception from the NCAA, but obviously that's a whole different thing. Most likely, he will, but we'll have to wait and see on that. But clearly, really terrible news, and it affects a team that there are a lot of different opinions on. So I thought it was worth a podcast to dedicate to. Again, kind of slow otherwise, so it seemed like a great topic. But we have Jim on from the Champagne Room. Jim, how you doing today?
Hi, Thomas. Doing great. How are you?
Good. And why don't you take a second to talk to our listeners about your site and what you guys do over there?
Yeah, so I'm with the Champagne Room. It's SB Nation's Fighting Illini site. And it's pretty similar to BT Powerhouse, really, except that it's focused on Illinois football and basketball.
All right, yeah, great stuff. So I'm sure you're familiar with the news. Tracy Abrams goes down. Terrible news not only for him, but the team and the program. What were your first reactions when you heard, and just kind of to the development in general?
Yeah, it was just pretty heartbreaking news, to be honest. I mean, he's gone through so much over the past 12-plus months, and to hear that he was just going to be out another entire season, that's just devastating. And then, not only for him, but for the program as well, because now we're down to one true point guard on the roster, and we really have no idea who's going to be the backup now.
Yeah, definitely. And, we'll jump into a little bit on potential options, but in terms of Abrams, what do you think he was going to offer to this team going into this season?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing would have been leadership. Even last year, while he was sitting out, he was definitely the leader of the team. He was on the bench, almost acting as another assistant for the players. And, he just seemed to be a guiding voice for the team while he was out. And this year, he would have been just a great on-court presence, coming down during the stretch of second half of games. I mean, he'd be the guy. He's the longest tenured Illini right now. He's been there. I think this will be his fifth year now. He would have really added some leadership. His on-court production, it was pretty respectable in 2013-14. I think he averaged about 11 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists per game. Again, not anything too special, but definitely he would have been one of the team's main contributors.
Yeah, I agree. I think just in general, maybe he would have got pushed a little bit if some of the other guys developed, but, in 2013-14, as you're talking about, which is not last season, but the season before, he played 3/4 of all the minutes for the team. kind of the year before that, kind of 70%. So you're looking at a guy who's going to play a lot of minutes, at least, you know, borderline on that 30-ish minutes a game, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a huge loss just on its face, especially for a backcourt that's, you know, losing some depth this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to get into talking about some of the options in a little bit, but, you know, this is a team that really they only have one point guard. That's Jalen Tate. He's going to be a junior. And John Gross, I mean, he really hasn't been able to bring in anyone else to fill the position. So we're in a bit of a tough spot right now.
Yeah, and I guess to jump right in then off of that, Tate looks like he's going to be the guy now. Do you think he's going to be the guy, or do you think there are other options out there?
You mean on the transfer market right now, or just on the team to back him up?
Wherever you think.
I think it'd be a bit late to add a fifth-year transfer, but there is a name floating around. I actually can't even remember him off the top of my head, but there is a fifth-year point guard on the market. He's been getting some attention from Minnesota. I'm sorry, I'm blanking right here, but I think there is a chance that John Gross and the coaching staff could extend an offer. You know, he's to really just fill in for the year as a backup. He wouldn't really be contributing too much. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name here, trying to look it up.
Oh, no problem. I guess just to jump in here while you check this. There really isn't much depth in the backcourt, to be honest about it. I mean, I know there have been some kind of talk that maybe you could kind of push a couple of those shooting guards over. Jalen Coleman-Lance kind of stands out as a guy who I don't know how great he would be at the point guard spot, but I think he could be serviceable. But then you deal with the issue that he was kind of slotted in as the guy who could kind of step in at the two. So, I mean, you know, if you gain by pushing him there, you kind of lose by with the other spot. But I think Jalen Tate just really he's going to need to be productive unless Illinois can find someone either on the transfer market or maybe a late, you know, blooming recruit, which at mm-hmm. this point, you know, you're talking about the last couple of weeks here.
Yeah, exactly. And I found his name. The fifth-year transfer name is Donovan Stewart. He's transferred from SIU Edwardsville. USC and Minnesota have contacted him. Again, he wouldn't come in to be a starter or anything like that. He'd probably be providing, you know, 10, 12 minutes as a backup. So we'll see if that plays out.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess to focus on Tate here a little bit, assuming they don't add another guy, assuming, you know, the weight goes on to him, do you think he's a guy who can do that? I know he had some hype, you know, coming into to Champaign. Can he live up to that? Can he be the guy? Can he be good enough to let this team, you know, reach their goals next year?
If he improves his jumper, I think he can be. Because when he played last year behind Ahmad Starks, I think Illinois was playing their best in some areas, but in the half-court offense, they were just playing 4-on-5 because Tate shot about, I want to say, 8 or 9% from three-point range. So defenders, if you go back and watch, defenders were literally just sagging off 6 to 7 feet, daring him to shoot, and that really stalled everything else that was going on in the offense. And he's a pretty good penetrator. He can get to the rim. He can finish well. So when defenders are sagging that far off, I mean, that really limits that too, because they have such a head start when he makes his moves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good passer. I think he was kind of hurt by the fact that we didn't really have a big man with good hands in the low post. So when he penetrated, he really couldn't dump it off to anyone last year and really, like, be able to rely on them to catch it and finish. So, I mean, I guess, again, it really all comes back to his shooting. If he's able to develop anything that resembles an outside shot, I think he'll be able to fill in just fine as a starter. But that really remains to be seen because he hasn't shown too much in his first 2 years in Champaign.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I have it up here right now. So last season he went 1-for-12 for 8.3% from three-point range, which to me, I mean, you know, obviously the percentage is absolutely terrible. But, you know, what's more telling to me is a guy who played about 50% of the team's minutes last year, attempted 12 shots. And, you know, when you're playing point guard, you have the ball every possession pretty much. So, I mean, he's not attempting them because he doesn't think he can make them. And, I mean, which is good, you know, because he's not attempting bad shots. But, you know, if you're not a threat, that's a huge hit to your game. And, I mean, like you said, he's a good passer. And, you know, maybe he'll just have to take that, you know, prototypical point guard role where he just feeds other guys the ball. You know, maybe that's the way it has to work. Wasn't the best at avoiding turnovers, but he did set guys up. So, I mean, that's an area that, you know, maybe Illinois can build off of that. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if he can go up from about half the game playing to pretty much, he's going to have to play most of the minutes, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Unless either Kendrick Nunn or one of the freshmen can step up. He's definitely going to have to be playing probably 30 to 35 minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, just to spin off that a little bit here, I don't want to torture you or the Illinois fans anymore, but obviously, you know, you've had some rough luck with the injuries here, but what happens if Tate does go down? What do you see as the quote-unquote emergency situation? Because, you know, as we've been talking about, there is not much depth at point guard at all.
No, there really isn't. You know, I think Jalen Coleman-Lanz would probably make the switch from shooting guard to point guard, but the problem is he's dealing with a stress fracture in his lower left leg, and he'll be out for the rest of the summer. So, again, even if they're going to try and transition him to the backup role, he's going to be playing catch-up once fall practice comes around. You know, that leaves either Kendrick Nunn or one of the two freshmen, Aaron Jordan or DJ Williams, that could potentially fill that role too. Right now, I'd probably give the S to DJ Williams. He's actually a forward, which kind of just goes to show you what Illinois' point guard depth is like. But he kind of played a point forward role for Simeon last year. And, you know, he's pretty good. He was pretty good at it, and he's even said that point guard is his favorite position to play. So,
interesting. Yeah. The moral of the story here is that there's going to be a ton riding on Tate unless they can get a transfer, to repeat the obvious here. But how does this affect the team overall? I mean, we've talked about that. There isn't a lot of depth there. It's going to be a ton of pressure on Tate now, but, you know, where does this take them in the Big Ten pecking order, at least in your opinion?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago I had them slotted at number 8 in the conference behind Ohio State and just ahead of Iowa. I think that with all these recent injuries, I think it's safe to slide Iowa ahead of them. But I don't think that these injuries are debilitating enough to put them behind Northwestern at number 10. I still think there's a little bit of a gap, like despite Chris Collins' team really making some improvements this offseason. But I do still think the Illini are a bit better than the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm trying to look at it right now. I had them at number 9, right behind Ohio State, Iowa before them, and then Northwestern at 10. I haven't updated them in a while, but
same.
So I mean, my kind of thought process coming into the year was that Illinois was going to be in that bubble range. I know Illini fans are probably tired of the bubble at this point, but I kind of projected them on the bubble. Personally, I kind of thought they were probably going to end up just on the wrong side of it, just like they have the last 2 years. But I definitely saw them in that mix. I think this is a, you know, I don't want to overrate an injury by itself. I think a lot of people tend to do that when it's an off season. You know, there's not a lot of news, so people kind of exaggerate the effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a really significant injury, just because, you know, Tate's fine off the bench. He's a big contributor. I think he'll be all right. But, man, I'm just so worried about if he goes down for 2-3 games and, you know, there's just such a void there that, you know, it's going to mm-hmm. cost them. I mean, they could – I don't know if you agree, but I could see them, you know, dropping to even bottom-tier Big Ten teams if Tate went down for 2-3 games.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. They're, I mean, again, there's just – I don't even know what they would do.
Yeah,
they'd be
and
in
I mean,
pretty serious trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, it's speculation because, you know, who knows? He may be healthy the whole year, play 35 minutes a game, no problem. But – That's just a concern for me, and it's a concern for me considering that he really is a limited player. And, you know, again, I don't want to rag on him here because he was just kind of forced into this, you know, because a guy got
mm-hmm.
injured. But, you know, he really can't shoot that well from long range. And the thing is if all he can do is pass, it's going to be a huge hit to that offense, which really took some steps forward last year, I thought. And, you know, it really makes me wonder, you know, are they going to be able to win these games, you know, because if you're a bubble team, we all know you got to avoid bad losses, you got to win, you know, you got to beat some top teams. And I just think, you know, as you're talking about, I just think those top teams, they're going to key in, they're going to back off, they're going to give him space on the outside, and he's not going to get to the middle. And it's really, I think, going to hinder that whole offense.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. I think they were on the bubble before this injury to Abrams, and I definitely think they're on the wrong side right now. So we'll just have to see if someone could step up during training camp.
All right, and I don't want to be too negative here since we're focusing on just Illinois today. But so tell us some optimistic reasons here why fans shouldn't panic about this injury.
Well, we still got Malcolm Hill. I think that's one thing that fans can kind of hang their hat on. Hill and Nunn are going to be juniors. It's their team now. They pretty well during stretches of last year when Rice went down, when they were taking most of the shots. So if they can improve a little bit more and become more consistent, I think you'll still see some – I mean, respectable point totals on offense, but I think team defense is kind of going to suffer with the loss of Agu, and I think they're going to have to handle more responsibilities on that end. So we'll see, but I definitely think there's some returning talent there, and if one or two of the freshmen can, you know, kind of step up and provide some quality minutes, I think this is still a team that could stay in that bubble conversation come March.
Yeah, and I mean, and again, trying to take the optimistic side here. I agree. I think Hill was massively overlooked towards the end of last year. I've been doing my kind of retrospective reviews of the whole Big Ten right now, and Malcolm Hill was probably the team's most productive player last year. Probably not the best. Rice was probably still the best, but you know, from start to finish, he was a really nice player, and he could really be set for another breakout, which
mm-hmm.
could put him right in that all Big Ten conversation. And then, I mean, Kendrick Nunn, he's already shown, you know, he can be a good player. We don't know if he can be great, but there should be more possessions there for him now. You know, and obviously Jalen Coleman-Lance comes in with high expectations. People are excited about him. I think he's going to be really good at creating his own shot, which might help a lot. He's also a great outside shooter, so maybe that'll help with some of Tate's issues. But I think there is talent here. There are pieces to work with. I am really concerned about that, you know, the point guard position, obviously. But I definitely think, you know, maybe maybe they have to adapt their approach. Maybe they become more of a really hard-nosed defensive team and try to just suffocate people on that end. I could see that happening, and you know, maybe that's enough to get them enough wins in Big Ten play.
Yeah, we'll see. They may be forced into doing that if the offense can't adjust without Abrams or whoever may be handling the point guard duties.
Yeah, definitely. And to kind of step it back, take another step back here. You know, obviously it's going to be tough for the position. You know, terrible for Abrams. And really, I don't want to say puts this team in a bind, but it really, really adds even more pressure to a season that already had a lot of pressure on it. Can you talk a little bit about where John Gross is sitting? Whether you think he's on the quote-unquote hot seat, you know, what the expectations are for this year, kind of how this injury plays into that whole scenario.
Yeah, well, I think from a fan perspective, there are kind of two big contingents right now. There's one that still wants to give Gross some more time, and that is kind of blaming Bruce Weber for the situation that he stepped into and is taking him longer to rebuild out of. And again, they're willing to give him a bit more time. But then there's another segment that just wants results, and it's year four and missing the tournament for a third straight year. In their minds, it'd probably just be enough, and they'd want him to be fired. Personally, I think even if they don't make the tournament this season, I think he'll get one more year. And that kind of has to do with his relation with John Gross's relationship with Mike Thomas. I think that he'll be willing to give him another year, even though, well, like, again, if they miss out on the tournament again, I think he'll get another year just because, I mean, he's put a lot in this hire. I don't know. It's just kind of a gut feeling, really.
Yeah. I wrote a column after the season ended, you know, after Gross got eliminated, or not Gross, I should say Illinois got eliminated by Michigan in the Big Ten tournament. And it's so hard to pin down. I mean, most coaches, it's so easy to say, you know, like, well, this is the year. You know, if they don't perform this year, got to get them out. You know, it's clearly able to outline the expectations, so on and so forth. But Gross is, he's such on that fine line of just, you know, obviously, you know, the NCAA tournament the first year, I believe they won the first game and then got knocked out by Miami, I want to say.
Yeah.
And then back-to-back NIT appearances, which, you know, at a place like Illinois, at most schools, NIT appearances aren't going to mean that much. But at the same time, you do have to count, you know, the teams weren't horrible. You know, it's just they came up just short of that NCAA goal. So, I mean, you kind of think, you know, he's bringing in nice recruits. You know, he's really targeting the state of Illinois. You know, maybe this could be the creation of something that could really last long and make Illinois a powerhouse in the Midwest. But at the same time, you know, for me, I still, when I step back, I had to think, you know, I think you got to make the NCAA tournament this year, you know, and the Tracy Abrams injury is such a blow to that. You know, as we've been talking about, just because it puts so much pressure on a backcourt that probably could have used a little more help. And, you know, it's gonna be so frustrating if that's the thing that prevents them to get to the tournament. And, you know, it'll be really interesting how he's evaluated if really, you know, that's the only thing holding back the team.
Yeah, I agree. And really, I mean, he's had such horrible luck over the last 3 years. I mean, it's ridiculous. From the recruiting trail, to just on-court performance, you know, and like 2012, 13, I think, like 50% of the active roster were freshmen. Last season, you had the injuries and suspensions to Rice, Cosby, Starks didn't really pan out. And again, on the recruiting trail, just all these just gut-wrenching misses. It's been pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois just got half of these major recruits they were in on. I mean, wow, they would be just insanely loaded. But you know, obviously that's not how it works. But yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. I think you know, there are a couple teams in the Big Ten that really intrigue me because they're so hard to place, and I feel like Illinois is one of those, especially with his injury now. You know, you kind of have the top teams, you know, like Maryland, Michigan State, Indiana, so on and so forth. But Illinois is one of those wild cards that, you know, if, like, for instance, if Tate really tears it up this year, I mean, they could be a really intriguing team. Do you think there's a chance that they could really, you know, shake things up and be a, I don't want to say win the Big Ten, but really be a contender?
You know, I don't know. Right now I'm leaning towards no. I just think the, you know, top half of the conference is going to be so good next year that it'd be hard for them to really, you know, break into that, not necessarily upper tier, but that second tier even. And I think their ceiling would probably be around 7th, maybe 6th in the conference, depending on how things shake out. I think that'd be a great season, to be honest.
Yeah, makes sense. It's going to be an interesting season for Illinois, but Jim, any final thoughts here before we let you go?
No more injuries, please.
Fair enough. thanks again, Jim, for joining us.
All right, yep, thanks for having me, Tom. Take care.
That was Jim from Champagne Room. If you're an Illinois fan or you're just generally, you know, interested in kind of how their team's looking or whether it's football, basketball, I think they do a couple other sports as well. Definitely check them out. They're a member of the SB Nation Network, so they really put out good stuff. And a couple of our own writers, I know Graham and Grant, also write for the Champagne Room as well. So you can, it's a little bit of a crossover there. But, yeah, I mean, Illinois is going to be an interesting team going forward, and really such a huge year for Gross. And it's disappointing to see that, you know, it may be hindered by that injury. And obviously, you know, again, to repeat what we said at the beginning, terrible for Tracy himself, and obviously wish him the best. Hopefully he comes back and really can have a productive season next year. But yeah, I guess that kind of wraps up the discussion here on Illinois. So I wanted to take just a couple seconds to touch on two commitments that happened this week for the Big Ten. The first one I'm going to talk about is Iowa. They brought in Ryan Kreener, I want to say, for the 2016 class. He is a three-star prospect, second commit of the class. And he, according to, you know, some of the stuff you read, he's kind of rising. And that was obviously a nice pickup for Iowa. You kind of get the thought that it may take a couple years to develop, so on and so forth. But a nice little addition for the Hawkeyes, making some noise on the recruiting trail. The other one, which I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, knowing my own interests, but Michigan picked up Evie Watson out of Ohio. He played at the same high school as current player Caris LeVert, which a lot of people around the Big Ten will know. But, you know, he's a really intriguing player, sort of the replacement for Tyus Battle, who decommitted from Michigan earlier in this cycle. But I think Watson can be a solid player. I think he's going to need to add some strength, a little more athleticism, and I think his shot will take some work with Beilein. But he's a player I definitely think people should watch as he continues to get more and more attention. I believe he had an Indiana offer as well. But I think he's kind of an under-the-radar guy that's not going to turn a lot of heads now, but could be that type of Caris LeVert role in a couple of years. And not to say they're the same player. Watson's more of a passer, less of a just individual type of guy on the court. But I definitely think he could be a nice contributor for the Wolverines in the future. So I wanted to mention the new Iowa commit, the new Michigan commit, as we wrap up the podcast. But in terms of a coverage note here before we end the podcast, going to be wrapping up the long retrospective series that I've been posting on the site. Had a little delay with some things going on this summer, but hoping to wrap that up over the next couple weeks. And then you will see a new preview series on the site called Mile. They're called the Mile Out. Essentially, it's three questions about a team, three non-con opponents, and three key players. And it's just kind of giving some context on this upcoming season. You know, a little bit of just a broader view of the year before we really start getting into the in-depth preview stuff here. But again, thanks everyone for checking us out. Hopefully, we'll be on again shortly. And everyone, keep enjoying the summer, and hopefully you all enjoyed Big Ten Media Days for football the other day. I know I enjoyed all the talk, but thanks again for checking us out, and we'll see you next time.